news, information, opinions, history, and most importantly, always real. This is Rant EM Radio.
Welcome to That Awful Podcast. I think we're up to episode 9, something like that. That Awful Podcast, morelikeradio.com, rantemradio.com. On More Like Radio, it's every Monday from 4 to 5 p.m. And on Rant Entertainment Media, it is from 7 to 8, with the exception of this week, because you're hearing me for the first time on Tuesday. So, it's only a one-week thing. They're doing a whole big WrestleMania where they're running replays of the shows that they broadcasted. Excuse me. All straight through till Monday. So, this is the one time you'll hear me on Tuesday. Unless you download me Monday night, then you'll listen to me on Tuesday, which, hey, it's not the first time. Go figure. But, I have had... my week was decent. I'm not going to complain about it, really. Of course, there was some shenanigans and tomfoolery and things like that. I mean, it's part of my job, really. But the one thing that had me irked, and it bothered me because it was going on for like 3 days. You ever get a song stuck in your head? And it's not even a song you like. It's a song that... It's annoying. They call them earworms. I have no love for the band Kiss. I respect what they've done. Okay, they've made a tremendous commercial success for themselves, obviously. Did a lot of it on their own. Things like that. Can't stand 98% of their music. Okay, I have a few songs that I like. I like Detroit Rock City. I like Rock and Roll All Night, things like that. And just to piss Kiss fans off, I tell them all I like Beth. Most Kiss fans can't stand the song Beth. But I've had the song God Gave Rock and Roll to You stuck in my head for days. It has been absolutely quite annoying. And there is no reason for it to be popping into my head. It just kind of did. And, it made me quite angry. So, what do? I talk to my friend Phil. My friend Phil, you guys know him on Turnbuckle Throwbacks every Wednesday. He was able to successfully get the song out of my head, but only for a day. For those of you who don't know Phil, all right, I call him Philipedia. When it comes to music or wrestling, and even most other sports, okay, the guy can remember anything and everything. It's absolutely amazing. You will never hear me dispute anything with him when it comes to music. You know, if he says this band put out this album in this year, chances are he's probably dead on accurate, if not off by a year or two. Okay? So I tell him this, and all of a sudden we start talking about the Mighty Mighty Boss Tones and Anthrax and the hell was the other band we were talking about? I can't remember. But it was successful. For the rest of the day, I had, like, the impression that I get stuck in my head. I had Caught in a Mosh stuck in my head. And I wish I could remember the other band. There was another band that I really did enjoy. But it's escaping me right now. Whatever the case may be. Worked all day. It was fantastic. You know, going around singing all these different songs. It's just perfect. You know, just kind of like my own personal soundtrack in my head. Of course, when I'm not listening to any other great podcasts that are on, more like radio and Rant Entertainment Media. So I go to bed. Felt great. This was Thursday. Go to bed. I'm like, ah, it's perfect. Had all these great songs stuck in my head all day. Lottie, freaking da, fantastic, beautiful. Go to bed. Wake up. Getting ready for work. Make my breakfast. Go upstairs. Take my shower. Nice. Just as I'm starting to wash my hair, all I heard was Carol Ann in my head, and it was "It's Back." Goddamn song stuck in my head again. Absolutely pissing me off, and it's still stuck in my head even as we speak. It's kind of like it's like playing in the background. It's like really annoying background music. Now, just to be clear, there's a lot of people out there who are saying, "How could you not like Kiss?" It's really quite simple. The music is really not that good. Okay? And I really have a hard time respecting a band, respecting a rock band that made a disco album. Yeah. It doesn't work for me. It really does not work for me. They were really good when they had their makeup on. They took their makeup off. They got kind of shitty. That's when I was introduced to Kiss. I was introduced to Kiss. The first album I had ever heard from them was Hot in the Shade. And I think that was actually somebody bought that for me, thinking I would like it. And they were mistaken. I don't remember who it was, but I did have the cassette. And yeah, and it just wasn't very good. And again, I like some of Kiss's older stuff, you know, where it's just kind of real. I guess, it's not, you know, like Rock and Roll All Night, it's kind of like anthem rock kind of thing, you know. But other than that, I find the band to be awful. I really, Gene Simmons is just an annoying, pretentious douche. You know, and you know, they get inducted to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame and they don't want certain members to be there. And listen, you know, you got to remember these members that you really don't want there were there when you made yourself successful. Other members came in afterwards. And if you can't respect the people that helped you get there enough to let them kind of be recognized with you, go fuck yourself. But that's just me. But yeah, that's kind of my week. Couple of things going on. You know, the wife is actually trying to convince me to move to Florida. I don't know how I feel about it. I've been born and raised in New York. I've spent my entire life here. You know, it's where my job is. I've been there for almost 15 years now. I've been busting my ass. But the problem is, the harder you work, the less you have. You know, I mean, I'm lucky enough. I have a house. I've got my two kids, and you know, I'm doing all right for myself. But everything is so fucking expensive. Now I live on Staten Island, which if you're not familiar with New York and the way New York works, New York has the Verrazano Bridge, which connects Brooklyn to Staten Island. And if you're a Staten Island resident, you get a discount. But the toll on the goddamn bridge is $16. Now you only pay one way. Okay? And for Staten Island residents, I believe it's like half. Which I think we're paying like $8 or something like that. It might be a little bit less, I don't remember. But there's you can't get off this godforsaken island and come back without having to pay. Which is ridiculous. And then the MTA not only raises the toll, they raise the fare on all these buses and subways, which, I mean, we're paying almost $3 now. We're paying $2.75 for what is quite possibly one of the shittier services. I mean, especially on my route, my bus is never on time. All right, I get there when it's supposed to. I get there a few minutes before it's supposed to be there, figuring, hey, I got some time. Might get there a few minutes early, might get there a few minutes late. Not a big deal. My bus is chronically 10 to 15 minutes late, which I plan for a longer commute than I usually have. I leave my house by 6:20 to be at work by 10. Okay? It does not take me that long most days to get to work. Okay? I'm usually at work by about 9 o'clock, so figure about 2.5 hours travel time. Now, I do kind of have to leave that little bit early simply because shit happens. Traffic, accidents, things like that. I mean, you look at something like something that what happened the other day in, here in New York, where a building exploded, went on fire, and collapsed. Wound up taking four other buildings with it, including the building Drea DiMatteo lived in. For those of you who don't know who Drea DiMatteo is, shame on you. She was in The Sopranos, and she was also in, most recently, in Sons of Anarchy. So something like that actually kind of cripples New York City for a while. Completely screws up all sorts of transit. I mean, luckily, there's no Second Avenue subway line yet. It's supposed to be coming in the next couple of years. I mean, it would have completely shut that down because it happened on Second Avenue. But the buses that have to go up First Avenue and down Second Avenue, they get screwed. Even the buses on Third Avenue, they get screwed. Now cars can't go down this way, so now they have to divert to other blocks. And then next thing you know, logically, entire city's fucked up. So you have to kind of account for things like that. And God forbid you try traveling during UN week. Ugh. Oh my God. God awful. Because I have to travel past the UN to get to work. So, they close everything off, and that's a whole nother gripe I have, which we'll get into another time. But thank you for letting me rant. I do appreciate that. It took a little bit of your time. And let's get into a little bit of news. So, there is a house in Sydney, Australia, that is up for sale for about $853,000. I don't know what form of currency Australia uses, but whatever. It's playfully called Buckingham Phallus, and it's shaped like a giant penis. Apparently, let's see, where was this house? When was this house built? I believe they said it was built in 1958. Okay. So let's see. It's a four-bedroom house. And inside it just looks like a series of circles, but it's only from the air or looking at the blueprints that, as the Huffington Post says, one sees the whole package. Har har, you're punny. Right now it's being sold by a guy called Phil Vanstone, and he says, when he shows the house and he shows the blueprints and things like that. He says most of the time the husband gets it immediately, and you can see the wives nudging them, telling them to stop and telling them to shut up. Listen, I don't care. I don't care. But actually, I'm lucky enough that my wife would probably sit there and laugh at it with me. The house is shaped like a penis. Guys are juvenile. I freely admit this. Penis jokes and fart jokes. We're good. We could spend hours with our friends laughing about this kind of stuff. Now, when you see, I want to find out the name of the guy who created this. Let me see. Sherman House, by my name is my cheeky journalist. Okay. So this was originally built by, in 1958, there we go, by acclaimed Aussie architect Stan Simmons. Okay. So, I don't know if they ever asked Sam Simmons if this was done intentionally, but, excuse me. Mr. Vanstone likes to speculate and says that, he was a very bright, he's a very bright fellow, so I imagine he probably does know it's shaped the way it is. The current owners think it's a bit tongue in cheek. It's kind of funny, man. I mean, if you look at it, I mean, it's for $853,000, it's obviously a sizable house. Really nice balcony. The living and dining rooms are circular and surrounded in glass, so you have a nice look out. It doesn't say what the view is, so that's a little disappointing. I'd like to see maybe a couple of pictures of the view. That'd be interesting. Let's see. The listing touts the tranquil bushland backdrop, double brick and concrete construction with beautiful sandstone features, and floor-to-ceiling glass in the living and dining areas, like I just said. It's a very livable floor plan, although a bit odd, and the fact that it has all the original carpentry shows it's a very livable design, as people haven't gone messing with it. I don't think there is a guy out there that is going to sit there and say, "Oh, I wouldn't live there." Yeah, we're guys, we're idiots. Every single one of us is to think, "Oh, yeah, I want to live in the penis house. That'd be great. It'd be funny as hell." Where do you live? Just look for the giant penis. It's funny. That's how guys are, man. It's just, I would love to live there. I'd like to rent it just for a week. I'm not going to be living there anytime soon, obviously. Number one, I'm not moving to Australia. And number two, I don't have $900,000 to put down on a house. But speaking of houses and things you could do in houses, but we make some brownies. Yeah. Apparently, as we head over to, where was this again? Michigan. A 58-year-old Michigan man called emergency services Wednesday morning after he ate several marijuana-filled brownies and had no idea what was happening to his body and mind. The father thought he was having a stroke. I was never huge into pot, and I was never really into drugs. I mean, I smoked pot a handful of times in my life and this and that. And I don't know that I know of anybody who smoked pot and had no idea what was going on. Obviously, it had to be laced with something, for that to really happen, whether it was laced with dust or whatever the case may be. But apparently, the man's 17-year-old daughter allegedly admitted to cops that the baked goods contained marijuana. She said she left them out because she figured no one would touch them, according to the smoking gun. This story is coming from HuffingtonPost.com. Her father did go to the hospital, but has been released and is doing fine. So he went to the hospital, he was treated, he was released, and now the Detroit police, excuse me, the Michigan police tested the marijuana, tested the brownies. It came back positive for marijuana, and now they're going to prosecute the 17-year-old girl. And let's see, what is it? What is the quote here? She's not going to get it light. Well, How do you feel about this, really? I mean, it's kind of, the dad's got to feel like a jerk. Here he is. I mean, first off, the daughter should really feel like the bigger idiot because she said she made them and left them out because she didn't think anybody was going to eat them. Who doesn't like to eat brownies? Brownies are delightful. Delightful. You warm them up a little bit, maybe with some ice cream. Delicious fat guy snack. Okay? I know skinny people that love brownies. I don't know that I've met anybody that doesn't like brownies. I've met people that don't particularly care for chocolate, which I don't quite get either, but whatever, to each his own. But you don't leave out brownies, okay? Especially if you've cooked them with pop. You want to save that for yourself, obviously. Dad comes home, says, "Ooh, look, a little snack." And then all of a sudden, now he thinks he's having a stroke. Which, I gotta be honest with you, I mean, that's something I wish people were more educated about what the symptoms of a stroke are, actually. Again, I can't sit there and say he wasn't experiencing some signs and symptoms of a stroke, but again, that's neither here nor there. But, I mean, this girl's father went to the hospital because he thought he was having a stroke or something worse, and then winds up getting arrested. So the dad has to feel bad, number one, because he basically just got his daughter arrested. But the daughter's got to feel bad because, she's got to feel fucking stupid too, because let's face it, if she didn't leave him out there, none of this would have happened. Just like, if Woody would have went to the police. Whatever, man. Again, people are freaking stupid. But since we're talking about brownies, there was a California man that was accused of robbing a bank and decided he was going to eat some brownies that he made himself on the witness stand. And when I say he made the brownies himself, he made the brownies himself on the witness stand and then ate them. Now, your fart smells bad. Your friends will joke around and be like, "Eh, somebody's baking brownies." Yeah, that's the brownies I'm kind of talking about right now, folks. This man, let's see, Andrew Gilbertson. He was on the witness stand as he was on trial for burglary charges, and decides to shit in his pants, reach in, grab a handful, and have a little snack, While I never personally served in the military, I know friends of mine have. They did have this one treat that they like to call shit on a shingle. It wasn't literal shit, but in this case, it is. Let's see. Police said during the robbery, 40-year-old Gilbertson disguised himself by wearing a hat and pink child's backpack. This is the bank robbery he was being charged with. First off, a 40-year-old man wearing a pink child's backpack automatically is suspicious to me. Okay, maybe it's my emergency responder senses kicking in, my own personal spidey sense. But we're trained that, if you see something like that, it's suspicious. Guy could be a terrorist or something along those lines, and there have been documented cases where that has ex been exactly the case. But again, the best part of all this, by the way, is, and what I did not tell you, he pleads guilty, not excuse me, he pleads not guilty by reason of insanity, and he the Virgin Mary apparently suggested the disguise to him. The hat and the pink child's backpack. The Virgin Mary is obviously not a criminal mastermind, because it's not a very good disguise. Wear a Richard Nixon mask or something. I mean, shit. So she's giving him one piece of bad advice. Why not two? Apparently, the Virgin Mary told him to eat his shit on the stand. I have a hard time believing the Virgin Mary would tell him to do this. And let's be honest, man. I mean, you'd never hear the Virgin Mary get blamed for anything. You know, I mean, she's gotten off pretty much scot-free her entire existence. And then some, obviously. You know, I mean, every now and again, she pops up in somebody's toast. You know, just like Jesus does. You know, oh, look at that. Jesus is in my toast. Just the Virgin Mary made me do it. Not often you hear that. Absolutely not often you hear that. So let's see. Just quick description. The suspect allegedly reached into his pants, removed his own waist, and began eating the cheeky snack. Apparently, in the chaos that followed, the Judge Umhofer called for a recess. They later resumed the trial, and a mental health expert testified that he saw Gilbertson hitting himself to get rid of the voices in his head. He has a previous conviction for sexual assault. So, pleading temporary insanity is all fine and good. Obviously, you have something not right with you. Okay? And I gotta be honest with you, anybody who's gonna sit there and voluntarily eat their own shit is one of two things. Either absolutely fucking insane or a drunk or stone frat boy. I'm not judging. Listen, people do their own thing, whatever gets you through the night, it is what it is, but not something you would see any sane person do. And let's be honest with you, college frat boys are near, not sane. So I mean, technically, I guess you could say crazy person and just kind of leave it at that and use the broad spectrum. But yeah, man. I mean, I gotta be honest with you. I kind of wonder. Excuse me, as I bump the mic. I gotta wonder how everybody reacted. I mean, I can only imagine it looking like the Family Guy Ipecac scene. You guys remember that where they're sitting there and they're him. There was Peter, Brian, Stewie, and Chris. They all want the last piece of pie, so they Peter's running a tab at at the pharmacy. They all drink some Ipecac, which, if you're not sure what Ipecac is used to induce vomiting. And the last person who vomits gets the pie. I can only imagine, as everybody saw this, the end result of that scene occurred, where it was just everybody vomiting and dry heaving and running. And I mean, there had to be complete and utter, obviously, chaos. They mentioned it in the article. I mean, God, upheaval. I mean, what other words can you come up with for it besides just fucking disgusting? Oh, look at that. We are about to reach the half hour mark. Let me take a quick break. Wet the whistle. I gotta make tinkle too. So I'll be right back. You're listening to what's the name of my show again? Oh yeah, that's right. You're listening to That Awful Podcast, more like radio.com, rantentertainmentmedia.com, rantem.com, excuse me. We'll be right back after this.
Hey everybody, Double A here to tell you that Rant Entertainment Media is bigger and better than ever with our huge lineup of original first-run programming. Things kick off on Monday at 7 p.m. with Will Sweeney and That Awful Podcast. And at 11:15 p.m. following Monday Night Raw, join Lee and Rage live for Freaks and Effin' Geeks. Then on Tuesday nights, join myself, Double A, and Tony C for the Mothership, The Rant, live at 8 p.m. Take a trip back in time on Wednesday nights with Turnbuckle Throwbacks live at 9 p.m. with the Impact player Phil Rea and Dave Mega Powers. Thursday nights bring you another doubleheader with the Rexplex, hosted by Rex Watson at 7 p.m., followed by Rant and Wrestling at 9 p.m. You can expect a new episode of the Lex Podcast every Friday, hosted by Lexicon. Sit back late on Saturday nights at 11 p.m. with William Morgan and the Wrestling Call-In Show live. And bring it back home at 5 p.m. on Sundays with the What Are You Reading comic book show with Surfer and Jordan Cobb live. And you can tune into any of these programs by just going to rantemradio.com. And don't forget to take us with you on the go by downloading the TuneIn Radio app on your mobile device and simply searching for Rant Entertainment Media. So don't miss out on anything we have to offer you each and every day. It's your one-stop source for endless opinions and quality entertainment. All right here at rantemradio.com.
I'm back. All right, guys, thanks for listening. That awful podcast, rantentertainmentmedia.com, rantem.com, and morelikeradio.com, usually every Monday. More Like Radio is from Mondays from 4 to 5. Rant EM Radio is from 7 to 8. Now, excuse me. Sorry, I had to have an oatmeal cream pie while I was taking care of business. There's something about them, man. Little Debbie's oatmeal cream pie is like the ultimate snack for me. I don't eat them that often because, well, they're really in the house for my son, who adores the things. Good boy. But, I could sit there and I could actually be the fattest fat fatty there is and eat a whole box of them myself. You know, in a box, I think there's about 10 or 12 maybe. Yeah, I can knock that box out by myself in a sitting. They're that tasty to me, which I would absolutely hate myself for it. I would feel absolutely disgusting, but it would feel oh so right. Go ahead, judge me. I don't care. I could do it. I would do it. I might still do it one day. But, I didn't do it now, just one. But it was freaking delicious. That and Arizona iced tea. Oh, man. That's a poor man's snack right there. Because a little, you go into a bodega, especially here in New York, you go into a bodega. Arizona iced tea is a dollar. And the Little Debbie's oatmeal cream pies are usually like 50 cents. You walk in there with $2, you got yourself a delicious little snack. Again, don't judge me for it. Don't judge me for it. I know at least one of you people out there listening has done that. All right? And if you haven't, you should. You'll be happy. So, apparently, scientists are experimenting with night vision. Now, yeah, I know night vision goggles are fully available. We're not talking about that kind of night vision. Well, we are kind of. Apparently, let's see, where this happened again? I don't even know if I'm pronouncing this right. It's some town in California. Tehachapi? Tehachapi. Never heard of it. But apparently, scientists, or they're called biohackers, induced night vision on a fellow researcher. How'd they do that, you ask? Well, here you go. They used chlorine E6, which is found in several deep sea fish and used as an occasional method to treat night blindness. And they basically injected it into the conjunctival sac. Now, for those of you who don't know what the conjunctival sac is, that's right under, right at the bottom of your eye. You've heard of conjunctivitis, which is pink eye. That's basically where the infection starts. So, let's see. The guinea pig for the experiment was Gabriel Lucina. They say he had his eyeball stretched open, similar to how they did it in A Clockwork Orange. You know, there's something about the title of that movie. I feel like It should just be called Clockwork Orange, because a Clockwork Orange just doesn't really sit well in a sentence when you're trying to mention it all the time. But whatever, it is what it is. He was not fazed by the whole thing. He says, "To me, it was a quick greenish black blur across my vision. Then it dissolved into my eyes. To see if it worked, researchers just went into a dark field to find out what he could see." I don't know how I feel about this, to be honest with you. This does kind of concern me, although it does seem kind of cool. Basically, you have not really predator vision, because predator was more heat signatures that he was picking up on. But this is still kind of cool. You know, I don't know that I would want anybody messing with my eyes. I mean, over the last few years, I guess about 3 years ago now, I had to start wearing glasses. People ask me, "Oh, why don't you just go for the LASIK?" I'm like, "You know what? No. You know, oh, at least get contacts. No, I don't want that either. I don't like people messing with my eyes." All right, just simply going for the eye test is a, I don't want to say it's a traumatic experience, but it's not pleasant. Okay? I mean, granted, for me, it's much more pleasant than going to the dentist, but I hate it. I hate it. I hate things going near my eyes. I hate things going into my eyes. It irritates the shit out of me. But I would seriously contemplate going for the night vision. Now, the chlorine E6, which they say is found in some deep sea fish, those are the fish that kind of generate their own light. Once you get down a little more than a mile under the sea, there's a whole group of fish that actually do live down there. They're actually pretty goddamn ugly too. They generate their own light so they can see where they're going. And that's where they, obviously they've done testing on this and found out that this chlorine E6 is what helps make the light. So I can only imagine that, you know, with the chlorine E6, they found a way to tweak it, or they found a, you know, they found that it just kind of makes everything illuminescent. But let's see. Let's talk a little bit about their findings. Apparently, let's see, there it is. Their findings were insane. It started with shapes hung about 10 meters away. And the guy says, "I'm talking the size of my hand." Before long, they were able to do longer distances, recognizing symbols and identifying moving subjects against different backgrounds. The other test, we had people go and stand in the woods. At 50 meters, we could figure out where they were, even if they were standing up against a tree. Each time, Lucina had a 100% success rate, and the control group, without being dosed with the CE6, only got them right a third of the time. Kind of seems cool. It really seems kind of cool. Again, like, my biggest issue with it would be being injected with the chlorine, or having it, however they're going to put it in my eye. The way they described it, they said it was more like a fine turkey baster. So they kind of, you know, just, I guess it's kind of like an eyedropper, but I would imagine it would take a little bit more than that. Now, here's my question. Is this a long-lasting thing? Is it a temporary thing? I mean, I would imagine it to be temporary. I would imagine the body would kind of absorb the chemical. And this is obviously something I don't think you would be using daily, because the long-term effects would probably be permanent night vision, which you can't use during the day because you'll be freaking blind. But cool nonetheless. I mean, kind of bring on a whole new level of playing Manhunt. You know what I'm saying? I mean, that'd be kind of fun.
I don't know if I would want night vision or heat vision. I don't know which would be cooler. Night vision or heat vision? That's something we need to have a group discussion about. Huh. I don't know. I mean, night vision would be great, like when my son doesn't clean up his room fully and, you know, I go in to check on him and I step on a freaking Lego. But, yeah. Yeah, alright, well, we're going to think about this and hopefully we can spark a nice little debate on the Facebook page. Facebook.com/thatawfulpodcast. Let's see. What was this? Oh, man. We're heading over to Washington State. Washington State police pulled over a guy who was traveling in the high occupancy vehicle lane. First off, I can't believe people still do this. Oh, I can and I can't. Okay. New York Institute of High Occupancy Vehicle, New York City anyway, this is the high occupancy vehicle lanes on the Long Island Expressway, and this is going back probably at least 10 years. It's also on the Staten Island Expressway and some parts of Brooklyn, but only during rush hour. Well, you have to have two or more people in the car to travel in the lane, and you kind of skirt traffic a little bit. This dude took a cutout of, what's his name again? Jonathan Goldsmith. Who's Jonathan Goldsmith? Yeah, he's the most interesting man in the world in the Dos Equis commercials. Okay? Dude took a cardboard cutout of this guy, sat him in the passenger seat, and said, "Nobody's gonna know." Right. Nobody's going to notice that there is a non-three-dimensional person sitting in the seat next to you, but there's something there, so you're trying to... It doesn't even make sense as I'm trying to make fun of the dude. It's a cardboard fucking cutout, man. If nothing else, I mean, buy yourself a store mannequin. Something. You know? A blow-up doll. Well, you can't even use a blow-up doll because, I mean, unless you're traveling at a high rate of speed, and then you're going to get pulled over anyway. People are going to realize, you know, you're going to have to spend a couple of dollars and get one of them real good sex dolls, you know what I mean? I mean, if you think about it, you spend that kind of money, if you're going to use it to get through the HOV lane, then so be it. And, you know, it kind of works out. You can fuck it later. Hey, I'm just, you know, trying to justify the expense. Let's see. So, the state trooper decides to pull him over. And then what was the trooper? The trooper and the driver had a good laugh about it. But he was cited anyway. Our trooper gave him a 124-hour ticket for violating high occupancy vehicle lane laws. They haven't named the driver. But, you know, he did kind of try to get out of it, saying, "Oh, but he's my best friend. He just sits there and doesn't talk." Dude, I mean, you know what? I guess at that point, number one, if I'm the cop, I'm going to sit there and I'm going to want him to explain to me why he thought he was going to get away with this. Why did you think a cardboard cutout was going to fool me? Number one, do you think I'm that dumb? If you give me a good enough explanation, I'm probably going to let you over the warning. Probably, if you give me a good explanation. I mean, I don't know. I can't really say, I guess. I'm not a cop, but, you know, I'd like to think that I would let him off with a warning and then maybe, you know, if he kind of gives me a half-hearted explanation or, you know, basically tries to insult me in some way, shape, or form, then I'm going to hit him with a ticket. Yeah, but you know what? This cop's doing what he's got to do. I guess, you know, they're tough on HOV lane laws there. whatever. I mean, no harm, no foul, really, but dude still got hit with a $120 fine. Again, man, don't use a cardboard cutout. Why? 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 Just try to be a little sensical. Sweet mother of God, people are stupid. Speaking of stupid, again, man, I seem to be able to find at least one story a week involving social media and an asshole. Now, when I say an asshole, I mean, the kind of people we've been talking about the last few weeks, where it's, look what I did. Let me post it on Facebook. Let me post it on Snapchat. Let me post it on Twitter. Stop. Stop, stop, stop. You're fucking retarded. Okay? And I don't mean to insult the retarded people by associating them with these people. Let's see, we're going into Maine, Central Maine to be exact. A man wanted for burglary in Central Maine avoided arrest until he revealed his hiding spot on Snapchat. Yeah. Okay. Police in Somerset County have been searching for Christopher Wallace, 24, for his involvement in a January burglary of cooking equipment. He allegedly stole a propane cook stove and a cast iron wood stove from a camp in Pierce Pond Township. Apparently, this past Sunday, no, not this past Sunday, the Sunday before, which would have been the 22nd, this idiot posts on Snapchat, excuse me, Snapchat. Suddenly I'm in Hodor. I know, that's not right. I don't think it's right. Might be. 10 points to Hufflepuff. On Sunday, he posted on Snapchat that he was back in his home, and somebody saw it and said, "Hey, Popo's looking for you. I'm gonna let her brother know." So this guy informs the police and says, "Yep, guy's home. Might want to head over there and look for him." So they had no initial luck finding him, but then this idiot posts a second message on Snapchat saying that the police were in his house looking for him and he was hiding in the cabinet. This dude deserves more than just to get caught. Okay? Deserves so much more than just to get caught. Let's see. The Somerset County Sheriff's Department put up their own little Facebook post regarding the incident, saying that a search of the kitchen cabinets turned up some food, some pots and pans, and also a pair of feet. The pair of feet just so happened to be attached to a person, and that person was Christopher Wallace. He was removed from the cabinet and placed under arrest. Guy deserves it. Guy deserves it. Guy deserves whatever he gets, and I gotta be honest with you, I hope the judge doubles the sentence because he was so fucking stupid. Here's 5 years for stealing the goods, and I'm gonna give you 5 more years because you're an idiot and you need to learn how to think. Maybe some time in prison will help that. Apparently, another young woman was arrested with him. Don't know what his relationship is with her, but apparently, when the police arrived at the house, she said that this guy wasn't home, so she was charged with hindering apprehension. And all right, that was it—just hindering apprehension. You know what? I'm willing to bet that there's half a chance that she followed this dude on Snapchat. If you know he put up something like that on Snapchat, and suddenly the police are knocking at your door, you're caught. He's caught. Just give him up. Just give him up. I mean, he did it to himself. That's just my opinion. I mean, I guess we can kind of equate this to what was that, Bugs Bunny, where he's hiding in the Muggsy's hiding in the stove, and the cops question him, "Where is he? Where is he?" "Oh, would I do this if my pal Muggsy was in there? Would I do? Would I throw a lit match in the stove if my buddy Muggsy was in there?" "You might, Travis. You might." Yeah, I know. The whole "you might, Travis, you might," that just triggered a memory. Great episode. I gotta watch that. I gotta find that again. All right. Oh, boy. Take a quick look at this. There's been a lot of talk about religion and same-sex marriage and homosexuality and things like that. Some what was it? I'm not even gonna mention because I'm not sure of the exact wording of it, so I'm just gonna skip over it. But there's something about, people discriminating against gays and stuff like that, and I don't remember it. I have to find it, but there's no time. Well, there is. I mean, I could just stop recording and look it up, but honestly, I'm just too goddamn lazy to do that right now. So, just go with me on this. So, a new religious freedom, quote unquote, law in Indiana touched off a firestorm of criticism across the country Friday, after opponents warned that it could lead to legal discrimination against lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender individuals in the state's business establishments. Indiana Governor Mike Pence signed into law this religious freedom that basically says any individual or corporation allows, excuse me, any individual or corporation to cite religious beliefs as a defense when sued by a private party. Pandora's box. That's all I'm saying. We live in a time where same-sex marriage is being legalized in more and more states every day. And because of the fact that same-sex marriages are being legalized, these couples are going out and they're having weddings and they want cakes and things like that. And there have been stories in the news about people refusing to make a cake for a same-sex couple. A person, I can't even remember how long ago it was. It was sometime, probably in later 2014, where a same-sex couple walked in. They said, "Oh, we want to have a wedding cake and this and that." And the guy was like, "Oh, great, come on in. We'll see what we can do for you." Couple comes in, sits down with the baker, and the baker says, "Yeah, no, I'm not doing this for you. I'm not doing this for you. Your lifestyle offends me." Me personally, if I'm a business owner, your money's green. I want it. Because here's the bottom line. Especially when it comes to something that's quote unquote new as same-sex marriage. Okay? These gays like to gossip. You're going to, me personally, the way I look at it, whether I agree with same-sex marriage or not, it doesn't make a difference. Honestly, it doesn't offend me. It doesn't bother me in any way, shape, or form. And I'm going to sit there and say, I'm going to make this dude, these guys or these gals, the best freaking cake they've ever had in their life. Because you know what? They have friends. And if I make an ass-kicking cake for them, their friends are going to come back to me and want cakes too. There is going to be a rush of same-sex marriages, especially if it's new. Especially if it's new. And I am going to make a shit ton of money. There it is. But now, this law in Indiana, which apparently there's like 19 other states that have similar laws, And I believe the state that we're talking when I mentioned this bakery case, I believe that state was one of them. Again, I don't remember all the exact details. I just remember the gist. Was one of them that basically says, well, it's their religious belief. No. There is no religious basis to discriminate against anybody. All right? Religion wants you to discriminate against the devil. That's what they want you to discriminate against. They don't want you to discriminate against anybody else. Okay? Stop. Stop. It's ridiculous. We are all allegedly created in God's image. Okay? We are all brothers and sisters in God's eyes. Which really, I mean, makes the fact that we're able to get married and things like that, it's kind of incestuous and inappropriate. Again, I'm not a religious guy. I'm not. Okay? Yes, when I was growing up, I was in church every Sunday. I made my sacraments, things like that. I have become more of an atheist now. I have issues with religion. My wife, on the other hand, while she's not very religious, she wants to put my kids through all the sacraments and things like that. I'm not really for it. I'm not really going to fight her on it, though. Although I did kind of put it out there and say, if this is what you want them to make these sacraments, you're the one that's going to go to church with them on Sundays. Because I'm not. And I mean that. It's very hypocritical for me to walk into a church and worship when I don't feel that way. I will obviously be at my child's sacrament. It's just the responsible thing for me to do as a parent. I know some people are sitting there going, well, the responsible thing for you to do as a parent would be to go to. No, it wouldn't. Because they're going to ask me questions. And they ask me questions now about religion, and I try to be as neutral as possible. But I don't have the belief. And I would honestly ruin it for them. And I don't know how I feel about these religious instructors imposing their thoughts into my children. I mean, because let's face it, that's basically what teachers do, no matter which way you look at it, really. They're imposing their thoughts into your child. Holy crap, I gotta kind of wrap this up. Apparently, a lot of people came out against this, including George Takei and Jason College, who was the first Jason, excuse me, Jason Collins, who was the first openly gay NBA player. They all feel this is bad, not good, not a good thing. It's gonna wind up with a lot of discrimination towards the LGBT community. I agree with them. What's this guy's name? Mark Cook, I think it is. Who's the guy that runs Apple now? Tim Cook, excuse me. He came out as gay last year and he's saying that this is ridiculous. Yeah, it is. It's not going to end well. It's not going to end well. It's going to lead to a lot of discrimination. It can't really lead to race discrimination because that can be proven that, that's not a religious belief. That's a personal belief and you're an idiot. But discrimination against same-sex couples, again, it's discrimination nonetheless, and it has nothing to do with your religion. Well, with all that being said, kids, I gotta wrap this up. I'm about to hit my time. That awful podcast, morelikeradio.com, rantemradio.com. Can't check me out during my initial airing. I'd like to call it live, but it's not. Go to the downloads page at your respective site. Whether it be morelikeradio.com or rantemradio.com and check them out. Check out all the great shows on both networks. The Sully Show, Hippo Juice, Dutch and Royce. Don't forget Joe Coletta, the Cousin Joe Show, his Indiegogo account, tinyurl.com/ no station required, leave the out. And on that note, kids, I'm going to be out of here. Email the show, that awful podcast at gmail.com, and well, Again, thanks for listening. See you next week. Enjoy, everybody. We'll be right back.